Good morning. Thank you, Pat and Peter, the dynamic musical duo. We appreciate your music. Thank you very much. Welcome, everyone. It's good to see everyone in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day, and each and every one of us will be blessed by being here. Warm welcome to anyone who's visiting our church today. It's good to have you with us, and we know that all of us will receive God's blessing. Howard, over to you, my man.
Morning, everybody. Refer you to the bulletin for the announcements. Yesterday we had an excellent leadership session with the national pastor, Reverend David Schrader, and I'm sure everyone that attended got a lot out of it, and we certainly thank him for the time that he put in with us. And a special thank you to Diana for the food. It was wonderful lunch, and Wilma for helping get it out. We certainly appreciated that yesterday. Food bank donations. So Thanksgiving is approaching, and so we'll have the food bank collection out in the foyer, and there are tubs out there already. Your calendars should be in your mailbox, and if you're missing a calendar or you don't have a mailbox, let us know and we'll find you a copy of the calendar. Potluck next Sunday after the service, that's the 25th, and on the 27th, the Tuesday, it's the board meeting, and that is the annual meeting which everybody is invited to attend, in which we discuss church business, go through the review of the reports. And one of the things we talked about yesterday, actually, at the leadership seminar is the unique characteristics of a congregational church, and it is that the congregation participates in the running of the church. Nobody dictates to us how we run this church, and so participation of the congregation at the annual board meeting is really important to the smooth functioning of the church. So everyone's welcome to attend that. Any containers left from the mustard seed, please take them home. Vacation Bible School, looking for new leaders. This is, of course, an advance warning, and advance notice. Just everybody think about that. Think of people that you might, that not necessarily in the congregation, but think people that might be willing to help participate in that. And then finally, La Felice donations. Nicole is continuing the work support of the Brazilian orphanage, which the youth and the young adults in this church have supported for the last, I think, 4 years. And there's an address on the bulletin if you wish to make donations. Any announcements from the congregation? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Howard.
Thanks to Howard for the announcements for the week. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. We read in Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We invite Pat to lead us now in our approach choruses. Thank you, Pat.
Yep, you're welcome. So the first chorus that I picked, well, all the choruses I picked are favorites of mine and bring me back to the days of my childhood when my grandmother used to play the organ and stuff. And so the first one is Blessed Assurance, and we'll sing all three verses of this one. Would you please rise? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is the guide. Visions of rapture, now under the light. Angels descending, bring from above. Echoes of mercy, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with his mercy, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Yeah, that was good. And then another favorite of mine, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, joined with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own near presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Yes, and our next one to bring us into time of worship, Spirit of the Living God. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
Thank you, Pat. Beautiful. Good singing, everyone. Great. Shall we now bow our heads and join together in prayer? Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, we thank you that you have given to each of us this day this great joy and this wonderful privilege of being able to come together in this your house on this your day. And we pray, gracious Father, in this time of worship that you will open our hearts, that you will open our minds, and that each of us here this day, Lord, may hear your voice as you speak to us through the scriptures, through our prayers, through our hymns, through every aspect of this time of worship. And gracious Father, as we worship you, we pray that you will accept the praise we bring, for we seek only to bring honor and glory to the precious name of Jesus, the name which is above every name, and the name in whose precious presence we worship. Hear us as we pray, Father, for we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Our responsive reading is from Psalm 105, verses 1 to 8. Praise the Lord and pray in his name. Tell everyone what he has done. Sing praises to the Lord. Tell about his miracles. Remember his miracles and all his wonders and his fair decisions. You belong to the family of Abraham, his servant. You are his chosen ones, the descendants of Jacob. The Lord is our God, bringing justice everywhere on earth. He will never forget his agreement or his promises, not in thousands of years.
Once again, I'd like to invite Pat, so this time if she would lead us in our special music. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you. So the song I've chosen this morning has to do a little bit with I think how I'm feeling. And there's been a lot of complaining going on, especially in our school, of class sizes and all this stuff. And Blessed Assurance I picked partly because it says, I and my Savior am happy and blessed. And I'm always trying to remember how blessed I am, because I am truly blessed. And also, great is thy faithfulness, blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. And I'm trying to look at the blessings that I have and walking away from the negativism and the complaints. And so that led me to this song, and it's called The Blessing. And I think of this song as the Lord speaking to me, so the Lord speaking to you. In the morning when you rise, I bless the sun, I bless the skies. I bless your lips, I bless your eyes. My blessing goes with you. In the nighttime when you sleep, oh, I bless you while a watch I keep. As you lie in slumber deep, my blessing goes with you. This is my prayer for you, there for you ever true. Each every day for you in everything you do. And when you come to me and hold me close to you, I bless you and you bless me too. When your weary heart is tired, if the world should leave you uninspired, when nothing more of love's desired, my blessing goes with you. When the storms of life are strong, when you're wounded, when you don't belong, when you no longer hear my song, my blessing goes with you. This is my prayer for you, there for you ever true. Each every day for you in everything you do. And when you come to me and hold me close to you, I bless you and you bless me too. I bless you and you bless me too.
Our thanks to Pat. That was beautiful, and I'm sure that each and every one of us were blessed by listening to that beautiful piece. Thank you. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for your goodness to us. You fill our lives with so much and so many good things. And so we bring to you now, Lord, these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers. For we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you. The children would like to come and join me, please. Contest. I'm going to ask you to do something, and whoever does it the best gets a prize. Is that fair?
No.
Why not? Well, whoever does it the best gets a prize. That's the way things work. Now, the first thing I want to ask you to do is I want you to put your feet together. Don't do it yet. Then I want you to bend down and touch your toes without bending your legs. Okay, I'll show you. Maybe I won't. Now then, you get the idea?
Yeah.
And whoever does it the best. Okay, wait a bit. No, everybody's got to be able to see you, so I want a few at a time up here. Come up here. Face the congregation. Whoops. Good start. Did you touch your toes there? Face the congregation. Over here as well. Face the congregation. Feet together. Okay, face the congregation. They've got to be able to see you do it. Come over here, kid. I'm going down here. I've got to see who does it the best to get the prize. Now, feet together. Okay, you mustn't bend your knees. Touch your toes. Whoa! My word! That's pretty good. Who do you think was the best? Let me see now. I think he was the best. There's your prize. What? Well, do you not think he was the best? Do you not? Didn't he? Well, I thought he was the best. Here, I'll give you another one. I'll give you a chance to get a prize here. Now, this one's harder.
Oh, no.
This time, you've got to jump into the air and click your heels. Whoa, can you do that? Are you ready? Are you set? Jump in the air, click your heels. Well, they're pretty good. Yeah, pretty. Well, okay, that's enough. I think he was the best. There's your prize. What's the matter? Well, they were the best.
No.
I'll give you one more chance. And this one's really hard. Really hard. I want you to try and do the splits. Just a minute. Does anybody want to show them how to do this? No? Okay. Let's see who can do the splits. Whoa, look at that. My word. Whoa, there's some athletic people here. Now, who's the best? Who do we think was the best? You were the best, were you? Do you think so? Come and get your prize. There's your prize. There you go. Now then. That's good, eh? Okay, you can come back down here now. That's the contest over. The Chinese splits. I don't like the sound of that. Right, do you think that was fair?
No.
Why not?
Not the big kids.
Well, I thought they were the best. Well, I'll tell you what, you guys are very lucky because Jesus teaches us in our scripture reading today that if everybody tries the best, then
then God sees everybody as equal. And everybody is a good contest winner. If we try our best for Jesus, some people are older and therefore they're a little bit better at things. But if you give of your very best, then you are a winner for God. And because I've got to go by God's rules, then I guess everybody gets a prize. Is that right? Aren't you lucky? Now then, he's already had one, but you did three exercises, didn't you? So there's your next two prizes. You did three as well, didn't you? Did you do three as well? Were you any good?
All did three.
Yeah, because everybody's equal. Everybody gets three. There you go. Sorry? No, don't go yet. You're not finished yet. Orange, I don't know what colours they are. I don't know what colours they are. You already got one, right? There's your next two. You want orange? You might have to do some trading amongst yourselves. Is one of them orange? You're welcome. There's your next two. And how many did you get any? You didn't get any, did you? There's your three. Okay. Right, so let's say a little prayer together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have taught us that we treat everyone equally. And because you taught us that, Lord, each and every one of us got three suckers. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us to be as good for you as you are for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You got anything there, Kathy? I'm sure we're all quite worn out with all that exercise. We exercise our lungs, we stand and we sing to the glory of God. The hymn number 8, Praise to the Lord the Almighty.
And so we come to our time of prayer. And I think each and every one of us in our church family here are aware of the power that God has given us through this wonderful gift of prayer. We talk to God and we talk to Him about our friends and about our people who are having a rough time of life at the moment. And we talk to Him about world situations. And He hears every one of our prayers, and in His time and in His way, He answers every prayer. And so, He's waiting for us now. So we bow our heads and we join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, our loving Father, we, your children, bow before you to confess the common sins of our calling. You, Lord, know all things. You know that we love you. And you know, Lord, that our heart's desire is to serve you faithfully. Yet, also so very often, like your apostles, we have so often failed you in the hour of need. If ever we have loved our own possessions or our positions in life more than we have loved you, we pray, Father, that you will forgive us. If we have become engrossed in small matters of our own, when the vast needs of humanity have cried out for our attention, we pray that you will forgive us. If we have been blind to your loving and living presence in our daily lives because of concerns for our own well-being and prosperity, we pray, Lord, that you will forgive us. And if we have shown greater favor to the strong or to the rich at the expense of the lowly and the meek and the poor, we pray, Lord, that you will forgive us. And we pray, Holy Father, that we may be faithful and caring workers in the vineyard of your kingdom. We thank you, gracious Father, for our church family, our church home in which we are sustained and uplifted by your great love for us. And we are so conscious, Lord, of our many friends who are not able to be here with us today. We are conscious, Lord, of those of our friends and acquaintances who suffer in body, in mind, or in spirit. And so, gracious Father, we come before your throne of grace, and in the silence and in the beauty of holiness, we whisper the names of those whom you have placed upon our hearts, and those, Lord, whom we know that you will indeed richly bless. We pray in silence. We pray, Father, for all of these, your children, who suffer. We ask that they may feel the healing touch of your gracious presence, and that they may know of your peace. And Holy Father, we continue to pray for your people who suffer loss of life, health, homes, pets, and so many other precious things as a result of famine and drought and world disasters. We pray, Father, that you will inspire us to do all that we can, and that you will grant resources and strength to the agencies who bring relief to your children who suffer in the stricken areas of this your world. Lord Jesus, we worship you, and we seek to lift high your precious name in our daily living. And we pray that to this end you will bless us in the week that lies ahead, and work in us and through us that your name may be lifted high and glorified, and that mankind may be drawn to you. We offer, gracious Father, these of our prayers in the name of him who died that we might have life. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Tis a good morning. Our first reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to worship in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into the vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go to work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went, and he went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around, and he asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money, or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. And our second reading is in Philippians chapter 1, 21 to 30. "As for me, to live in Christ and to die is gain, for a body. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and you will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you will stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign of them that they will be destroyed and that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have," which of course is Paul writing to the Philippians.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
So we stand again and we sing once more to the glory of God. The hymn 328. "Have you any room for Jesus?"
Have you?
Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When you were a child, did you get an allowance? Not if you did. Yes, some people got an allowance. The weekly reward, usually for doing the chores that were your responsibility. If you did get an allowance, you were probably on some sort of a scale, where as you got older, and as the amount of work that you did increased, so did your allowance. Is that right? Is that the way it worked? Yep. Right. So if a five-year-old gets maybe a dollar for picking up their toys or their clothes, an eight-year-old might get $5, perhaps feeding the dog, emptying the garbage, vacuuming the living room, maybe. What about a 12-year-old? They should be getting quite a bit more, because by now, hopefully, they're mowing the lawn, picking up after the dog, watching the younger ones, cleaning the garage out, all these good things. So we find that chores and allowances are a system whereby we teach children that in this world we have to work in order to receive rewards. We want our kids to learn and to live by the principle that hard work pays off. Hard work pays off. And so we've got to assume that the children of biblical times would have been raised in the same way. You are paid in accordance to the work that you have done. And this is why so many people find the parable in today's gospel reading so unsettling. We are schooled in life to identify with the grumbling guys who worked sun up to sun down through the heat of the day, and then watch in amazement as these slackers who've done 1 hour's work and in the cool of the evening get paid the same as them, a full day's pay. Naturally, the guy who's worked all day should get more. It's only fair. More work should equal more pay. Hard work pays off, right? This is how we're taught in life. But this system does not seem to be the case in Jesus' story, where the stewards distribute what the rewards that the stewards distributed didn't seem to be fair. How can it be fair? It's not fair. But Jesus' story is not about the human understanding of fairness. It's about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom that is wholly under God's rule. And God, it seems by this story, is not fair. The God who rules heaven and earth is the God of justice and mercy, not the God of fair and equitable. Our life training in human fairness and equality leads us to identify with the full day workers. But the truth, as Jesus teaches us, is that we should be identifying with the other guys who've been moping around the marketplace all day without any hope. But I think to gain a better understanding of this parable of Jesus, we need to look at the context in which Jesus told the parable. In the previous chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 19, we just read about the rich young ruler. You remember, this is the guy who'd come running enthusiastically up to Jesus and asked, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus concluded the conversation with this young guy by saying, "Yet one thing you lack. Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Then come and follow me." We are told he walked away sorrowfully, for he had great wealth. And then Jesus said that it would be very difficult for the rich to get into heaven. Now, the disciples who heard all of this were quite disturbed by it all, because Jewish tradition had taught them that God had especially blessed those people who were rich. So if a wealthy man was going to have difficulty in getting into heaven, how could the poor have any hope at all of getting to heaven? And so we've got here another clash over worldly views and worldly values and what Jesus is revealing as heavenly values. Jesus has just turned away a very wealthy man. And there's very few preachers today who would have the nerve to do that. But Jesus had turned away this very wealthy man, and in the Jewish way of thinking, it just does not make sense. It's stupid. But of course, it is the love of riches that Jesus condemns, rather than the individual or the fact that he was rich. It's love of riches. And right after that, Peter asks this question. He says, "We've left everything to be your followers. What will we get?" He was asking that rich guy just to leave his money. But Peter says, "We've left everything. So what will we get? What will our reward be? What's in it for me?" Peter is asking. "We've been following you right from the start, so surely our reward is going to be, whoa, amazing." And so it was in response to Peter's question that Jesus tells the story of the workers in the vineyard. Jesus knew what Peter was getting at. If that rich young man had followed Christ's instructions, surely he wouldn't have held the same position of authority in the kingdom as we who have been with you all the time. But just like you and I, Peter is falling into the trap of making comparisons between himself and others, between what he thinks he deserves and what he thinks others deserve. But remember, the Lord God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." A lady called Anne Sexton has a book of poetry. And in this book of hers, she talks about God being a God of great humour and laughter and a great sense of humour. And she says, in his great laughter, he calls her to join with God in a game of poker. Can that be? Anyway. When the cards are dealt, she is surprised and she is thrilled. She has a royal straight flush. A royal straight flush. And she thinks to herself, she will trounce God and win for herself whatever God has brought to the table. And so in great excitement, she throws down her cards to claim her winnings. Nothing can beat this hand. And God laughs. A great rolling and joyful and exuberant laugh. And in rich good humour, God throws down his cards. 5 aces. But that's impossible. 5 aces. She makes the point, you see, that when we play the game of life with God, we are not allowed to play by our rules. Because God is not bound by our rules. We've got to observe and go with God's rules. And we've got to remember that to God all things are possible. Even 5 aces. God can do whatever. This is the gospel according to Jesus, played by God's rules. And if God chooses to bend his rules in the direction of grace, then something wonderful always happens. So the owner of the vineyard goes out first thing in the morning to hire workers to harvest his grapes. We don't know what the owner's selection process was for selecting the workers, but some were chosen to work the full day and a wage was agreed. This was the way that workers got hired. They were in the marketplace at 6 o'clock in the morning, and everyone who gathered there was there because they wanted to work. They were willing and they were able to work. They wanted to work. So a few get chosen. How do we think that the ones who were not chosen felt? How did they feel? They needed to work. They needed the money to sustain life and their families. And they would have felt disappointed. They would have felt rejected. And those who were given a job would have been delighted. But what about the people on the rejection pile? Although we may proudly assert that we are all born equal, there is no denying that we are not all equally born. Some of us are born into money and comfort, but most of us are not. Some of us are born with the grace and the strength of athletes, but most of us are not. Some are born with physical disabilities that make every day in life a huge challenge. Some of us have intellects that stretch and soar, but most of us don't. Some of us get picked on the first round through the marketplace, but many of us don't. And in fact, any single one of us may suddenly find ourselves alone and unclaimed at the 11th hour of our lives. And that is why we are all 11th hour people. We are grateful for the enduring promises and the constant presence of a just God. And we are dependent upon the compassion and the generosity of a merciful God. There was once a large sales company. As an incentive to its workers, chartered a ship. And this ship was for a cruise for the top sales personnel. So on the appointed day, the salespeople swarmed aboard, all looking for their cabins, and you can sense the excitement. And minutes later, one of them was on the deck demanding to see the captain. And one of the officers asked this man, "Can I help you?" And he says, "My friend has a much better cabin, and I did as good a job as he did, and I want a cabin just like his." "Sir," the officer said, "the cabins are identical." "Yeah," said the salesman, "but his cabin looks out on the ocean and my cabin looks out on this old dock." Think about it. And I think that we often misunderstand the will and the intentions of God. Many people are like the salesman on the cruise ship before it left port. They are constantly comparing what they have, what they've been given, and what they perceive that others have. They constantly compare the past with the present, at the same time doubting what the future might bring. They are constantly evaluating what it is that they think that they should have against what they think other people should have. They think they deserve what they think they know they deserve. And they forget what God has promised. They are constantly forgetting that it is nothing but the grace of God that has brought them safe thus far, and it is God who will bring them home. So in part, that is the message of the parable of the workers, and it teaches us again that we are in no position to be judges of anyone or anything or any situation. Only God knows all of the circumstances, and God alone makes the rules for any given situation. We should never ever question God. And as it teaches us in Proverbs 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Thanks be to God. Amen. For our closing hymns, first of all, we stand and sing to God's glory. The hymn 68, "There's a Wideness in God's Mercy." Thank you. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love, this day and forevermore.